Late night bench light, quiet hands on glass. A drop meets bass, let the old steps pass. No spinning down, no waiting in the line.
Just welcome to Bass My Bass, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So right now, we possess the exact biological blueprint to stop cervical cancer in its tracks.
Right. I mean, we know the viral cause.
Exactly. And we know exactly how to stop it before the cellular damage, you know, ever becomes fatal. Yet in 2022 alone, roughly 350,000 lives were lost to it.
It's a staggering number.
It really is. And the vast majority of those deaths, they occurred in low and middle income countries. Why? Well, because the cure is effectively useless if the test to find the disease requires, like, a $10,000 machine, a pristine laboratory, and a perfectly stable power grid.
Yeah, which is just a non-starter in a lot of places.
Right. So how could changing the way we process a simple swab redefine global cancer prevention and allow patients to be screened and treated in a single visit?
That is the big question for today's deep dive.
It is. Today, we celebrate the work of a collaborative research team spanning Rice University, MD Anderson Cancer Center, and Universidad Eduardo Mondlane in Mozambique, among others, who have advanced our understanding of accessible point-of-care diagnostics for HPV.
Yeah, their research attacks the diagnostic bottleneck directly. But to really understand that bottleneck, we have to look at the biology of the disease itself first.
Let's do it.
So almost all cases of cervical cancer are driven by a persistent infection with high-risk strains of human papillomavirus, or, you know, HPV.
Right, and the mechanism of that virus is just, it's insidious.
Very much so. When an HPV infection lingers rather than clearing naturally, the virus can usually integrate its own genetic material directly into the host's cervical cells.
It essentially hijacks the cellular machinery.
Exactly. It turns off the natural fail-safes and drives abnormal, uncontrolled cellular division.
And that uncontrolled growth is what eventually becomes a tumor. So if we know the virus is the initiator, waiting for abnormal cells to form, which is, you know, what a traditional pap smear looks for, that feels a bit like waiting for smoke to appear before checking if the stove is on.
That is a great way to put it. And the World Health Organization clearly sees it that way too, since they recommend HPV DNA testing as the absolute gold standard for cervical cancer screening globally.
Catching the viral DNA means you are identifying the risk at the molecular level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, long before the cellular damage becomes irreversible.
Yeah, and modern healthcare systems do this brilliantly with high-end tools. Systems like GenExpert isolate that viral genetic signature with incredible precision. And they're pre-qualified by the WHO.
But, and there's a big but here.
Right. Taking a GenExpert system into, say, rural Mozambique exposes a massive systemic infrastructural flaw.
Let's look at the logistics of that flaw. The GenExpert system relies on polymerase chain reaction, or a PCR. A single test cartridge costs around $15.
Which adds up incredibly fast.
It does. And the machine itself carries a minimum price tag of $9,420.
Yeah, that math is completely unsustainable for a remote clinic. I mean, imagine you are a healthcare worker in a rural village, you have limited funding, you know, intermittent electricity, and a patient who just walked 10 miles to see you.
You simply cannot rely on a highly sensitive, power-hungry machine that costs more than your entire annual operating budget.
No. That explains why, in some of these regions, less than 5% of women have ever been screened.
And the WHO, they recognize this immense gap between high-tech genomics and frontline global health.
Yeah, their overarching goal is to have 70% of women globally screened twice in their lives by the year 2030.
Right, and to engineer a path to that target, they issued what's called a target product profile, or a TPP. It is essentially a rigid blueprint for the ideal diagnostic test.
Okay, what does that blueprint demand?
It demands technology that is fast, incredibly cheap, and robust enough to enable a true screen and treat model in the most remote locations.
Screen and treat. Meaning our patient who walked 10 miles, gets her swab taken, gets the result, and if she's positive, receives preventative treatment in that exact same visit,
right,
like thermal ablation or something, before she ever walks back home. Because if you have to send a swab to a centralized laboratory in the capital city and ask her to somehow make the journey back 3 weeks later to get her results,
you've likely lost her.
Exactly. The logistics dictate the medicine.
They do. When you eliminate the wait time, you eliminate the loss to follow up, which is precisely where so many patients fall through the cracks and ultimately develop cancer.
But hitting that specific WHO target requires stripping laboratory medicine down to its absolute bare essentials.
Which means we need to abandon PCR entirely for these specific environments.
Right. If you think about it, PCR is like an expensive, high-voltage espresso machine.
Okay, I like this. Go on.
To brew the coffee, or in this case, you know, to amplify the DNA, an espresso machine forces water through grounds using intense pressure and rapid extreme heating cycles. PCR does the same thing thermally.
Right. It rapidly heats the biological sample to near boiling to physically rip the DNA strands apart.
Yeah, then pulls it down to let genetic primers attach, then heats it up again to copy the strands. Doing that rapid swing 30 or 40 times requires delicate, energy-heavy thermal cycling equipment.
You just can't do that off-grid.
No. For rural Mozambique, we need the diagnostic equivalent of a French press. Something robust, simple, that doesn't demand a massive power draw.
And to build that French press of DNA testing, the team utilized a completely different chemical approach. It's called DARQ-LAMP.
DARQ-LAMP, who? Okay.
Yeah, it stands for Detection of Amplification by Release of Quenching Loop-Mediated Isothermal Amplification.
That is a mouthful.
It is. But the critical defining word in that entire acronym is isothermal. LAMP amplifies DNA at one constant temperature.
So no heating and cooling cycles.
Exactly. Specifically, it sits at 65 degrees Celsius. Instead of forcing the DNA apart with violent heat cycles, LAMP uses a specialized polymerase enzyme.
Oh, these are the ones often derived from bacteria that naturally thrive in hot springs, right?
Yes. And that enzyme actively unzips the double helix as it moves along, copying the genetic code continuously without ever needing the temperature to change.
So you just pour the water in, leave it at one warm temperature, and let the chemistry naturally steep. No massive power spikes for thermal cycling.
You got it.
But here's my question. Even a French press needs clean coffee grounds. If you've ever taken a high school biology lab, you know that extracting pure DNA from human cells is a messy, multi-step process.
Oh, it is. It's a huge pain.
You have to wash the sample, spin it in a centrifuge, filter it, carefully isolate just the pure genetic material. I mean, you can't just skip that in the field, can you?
Actually, skipping it is exactly what this engineering team accomplished.
Wait, really?
Yeah. DNA extraction is historically the absolute bane of field diagnostics. It requires trained technicians, dedicated workstations, and just constant pipetting.
So what did they do?
This team developed a radical extraction-free method. They take the raw cervical vaginal swab and drop it straight into a simple chemical, sodium hydroxide, or NaOH, and they leave it for just 10 minutes.
Okay.
The NaOH chemically attacks and tears apart the lipid bilayers of the cell membranes, spilling the raw contents, the DNA, the proteins, the mucus, everything, out into a crude liquid called a lysate.
Okay, I have to push back on that chemical logic.
Go for it.
Sodium hydroxide is lye.
It is.
It's a harsh, highly alkaline chemical used industrially to dissolve organic matter. If you dump raw cellular debris, thick mucus, and strong lye directly into a delicate biochemical test, those enzymes should denature instantly.
Right, that's what you would assume.
Yeah, the reaction should completely fall apart before it even begins.
It is a massive biochemical balancing act, for sure. But the secret lies in extreme dilution.
Yeah.
They use just enough NaOH to effectively burst the human and viral cells open. Then, they take a microscopic amount of that crude, uncurified soup-like, just one single microliter, and drop it into the much larger volume of the LAMP reagents.
Oh, okay.
So by doing that, the final concentration of the lye drops so low that the specialized LAMP enzymes can tolerate it.
And those enzymes are okay with all the other junk.
Yeah, those specific isothermal enzymes are remarkably resilient. They basically ignore the remaining mucus and cellular junk floating in the tube and get straight to the business of hunting down and copying the target DNA.
Wow. That is brilliant engineering.
Oh.
We're exploiting the sheer biological toughness of isothermal enzymes to bypass the need for centrifuges.
Precisely.
Now, for the specific targets, I see the paper outlines. They are hunting for HPV types 16, 18, and 45.
Yeah, those three specific strains are the heavy hitters. Together, they are responsible for roughly 75% of all cervical cancers globally.
That's a huge chunk.
It is. But the assay design goes a step further. They also engineered it to detect a human genomic DNA control alongside the virus in the exact same tube.
Oh, I like that. That acts as an internal failsafe.
Exactly.
So if the test comes back negative for the virus, but the clinician also sees no human DNA signal, they know the swab was faulty.
Right. Maybe they just swabbed air or didn't make proper contact.
It prevents a clinician from sending a patient home with a false sense of security caused by, you know, just bad technique.
Which is crucial in a field setting.
Absolutely. And the readout mechanism for all of this, I see they are using a device called the Axon T8 ISO.
Yeah, it's described as a portable, battery-powered fluorimeter.
Right. So for anyone not running a bio lab in their garage, how does a fluorimeter actually tell us the DNA is there?
Okay, so the chemistry is designed to literally light up.
Light up, like glow in the dark.
Basically, yeah. The reaction contains special fluorescent molecules that remain completely dark until they bind to the specific newly copied strands of HPV DNA.
Okay, I'm with you.
As the isothermal enzymes continuously pump out millions of copies of the viral genetic code, more and more of these molecules bind, and the tube begins to emit light.
That's amazing.
And the fluorimeter is just a small, rugged, battery-powered box that holds the sample at that constant 65 degrees and simply watches for that specific glow.
So rather than performing complex genetic sequencing or reading intricate data readouts, we are just telling a battery-operated box to look for a glowing tube.
That's it.
And because it runs on a battery, we've completely severed the reliance on a stable power grid.
Which is the whole point.
But you know, looking at medical equipment, simple rarely means cheap. Are we still staring down a near $10,000 price tag for the box itself?
Well, the Axon device costs around $6,500.
Okay, so better.
It is significantly cheaper than a GenExpert system. But more importantly, the cost per individual test drops dramatically. Right. Because you aren't paying for complex proprietary PCR cartridges or the series of extraction chemicals usually required.
Okay, the theoretical framework is incredibly solid. We have our French press, an extraction-free, single-temperature, glowing DNA test running on a battery.
Yep.
But paper chemistry often crumbles when it meets actual human biology. Let's look at how this performed outside of a perfectly sterile environment.
Right. So the researchers deployed a rigorous two-phase clinical evaluation to prove its real-world viability.
Phase one was where?
Phase one took place in Houston, Texas. We can view this as the baseline trial.
Okay, ideal condition.
Exactly. They took 38 samples from patients attending a colposcopy clinic. These swabs were collected perfectly, placed into ideal, simple buffers like phosphate-buffered saline, and immediately run through the 10-minute lysis and the rapid LMA test.
So highly controlled, what did the baseline data show?
The absolute perfection. Yeah, the LMP test demonstrated 100% concordance with the gold standard GenExpert system.
Mm.
Furthermore, the clinical team took physical tissue biopsies from a subset of these women. Every single patient whose tissue showed actual cervical or vulvar precancer under a microscope tested positive on this new rapid assay.
Wow. Which proves the fundamental chemistry works flawlessly under ideal conditions.
Right.
But the whole mission of today's deep dive is solving the Mozambique problem. A pristine clinic in Texas doesn't simulate the heat, you know, the transport delays, or the imperfect samples of a remote screening camp.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So to simulate that chaos, the second evaluation shifted to Maputo, Mozambique.
Okay.
And they utilized 191 banked clinical samples. These were not fresh, pristine swabs.
What were they?
They had been collected up to 4 years prior.
4 years?
Yeah, and stored in an alcohol-based preservative called Preserve Seed. Plus, they had been subjected to freezing, thawing, spinning down, and resuspending over the years.
Man, so they were practically marinated in alcohol and battered by temperature swings. If the delicate enzymes were going to fail, this is the gauntlet.
It really was.
How did the extraction-free LMP assay compare to GenExpert on these highly degraded samples?
The extraction-free test hit a highly impressive 93% overall concordance rate.
93%?
Yeah. Out of 191 highly complex aged samples, this simplified battery-operated box agreed with the $10,000 laboratory standard 93% of the time.
I mean, 93% in those conditions is a staggering achievement for a point-of-care tool. But as someone looking closely at the data, I can't ignore the 7%. Where the two machines disagreed.
No, we absolutely have to look at that.
If we are putting this in the hands of frontline workers, we need to know exactly why the test missed the mark in those specific cases.
Well, analyzing those discrepancies reveals the physical limits of skipping the DNA purification steps.
Hmm.
The researchers looked at the GenExpert seat values for the specific samples that the LAMP test incorrectly called negative.
Let me jump in on seat values for a second. That's the cycle threshold in PCR. It basically measures how many times the espresso machine had to cycle heat to finally find the DNA.
Exactly.
A high seat value means there were only trace amounts of the virus to begin with, so the machine had to run dozens of extra thermal cycles to amplify enough of it to be detected.
That is spot on. And the samples that the LNP test missed had significantly higher average seat values on the Gen Expert. Yeah, the viral load in those patients was incredibly low. The extraction-free LNP enzymes are tough, but when you leave all the cellular garbage in the tube, the assay struggles to find trace amounts of viral DNA hidden in all that mess.
Right. Whereas the Gen Expert, with its intense purification and sonication steps, can strip all that garbage away and find the needle in the haystack.
Exactly.
So we are exposing the core engineering compromise here. To make the test accessible, fast, and cheap, you are intentionally trading away a tiny sliver of absolute sensitivity at the very bottom end of the viral load spectrum.
It is a deliberate, necessary sacrifice to achieve global reach. But there is another side to that 7% discrepancy we need to talk about.
Okay, what is it?
False positives. The LNP test flagged two specific samples as positive for HPV 18 and 45.
Yeah.
While the Gen Expert said those specific strains were completely absent.
Wait, so the test started glowing for the wrong virus?
Yep.
That sounds like a serious specificity problem. I mean, if a test alarms for a virus that isn't there, you risk subjecting a patient to unnecessary and invasive treatments.
On paper, yeah, it looks like a specificity failure. But the clinical nuance here is actually fascinating.
Okay, how so?
When the team dug into the comprehensive genetic profiles of those two specific patients, they discovered they were harboring massive, overwhelming viral loads of multiple other high-risk HPV types.
Wait, really?
Yeah. One patient was infected with at least four different off-target strains simultaneously, and the viral load was so astronomical that it essentially flooded the system.
Ah, cross-reactivity.
Exactly.
There was so much related viral DNA swimming around in that unpurified lysate that it inevitably bumped into the LNP primers and triggered the fluorescent glow. The system just got overwhelmed by genetic cousins.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
But think about the clinical consequence of that error. In a remote village setting, a patient harboring an astronomical load of four different high-risk HPV strains still urgently needs a colposcopy and potential preventative treatment.
So the test flagged the wrong specific strain, but it correctly flagged a patient in extreme danger who needed immediate intervention.
Right. It got the patient to the care they needed.
That's incredible. When we pull back and look at the macro picture, the trade-offs seem entirely justified. We have a test that runs from a raw, unpurified swab to a glowing answer in less than an hour.
And it drops the cost of materials down to under $8 per test.
Wow. Those metrics directly answer the WHO's target product profile. An $8 one-hour test makes the single visit screen and treat protocol a physical reality.
It does. A clinician can test a woman in the morning and administer life-saving preventative therapy in the afternoon. The logistical bottleneck is shattered.
But, you know, science is iterative. This is a massive leap. But the paper explicitly outlines that this isn't the final market-ready product.
No, there's still work to do.
What are the engineering hurdles left to clear before this battery-powered box is shipped to clinics worldwide?
The immediate task is expanding the target net. While strains 16, 18, and 45 cause 75% of cancers, the WHO mandate requires detecting the strains responsible for 97% of cases.
Oh, that's a big jump.
Yeah. The engineering team needs to design highly specific molecular primers to catch five additional high-risk types, and they have to do it without increasing that cross-reactivity we just discussed.
Which sounds tricky. And logistically, keeping microscopic amounts of liquid enzymes stable in the back of a Jeep driving through sub-Saharan Africa is just a nightmare.
Totally.
They mention lyophilization as a next step. Lyophilizing or freeze-drying these reagents seems absolutely mandatory.
It is non-negotiable for true point-of-care deployment.
Right.
Freeze-drying the chemical mix into a tiny, stable pellet at the bottom of a tube means you completely eliminate the need for refrigeration, what we call the cold chain.
So no ice packs, no freezers.
Exactly. A health worker simply adds the crude lysate to rehydrate the pellet, and the reaction begins. It also drastically reduces pipetting errors in the field because the clinician isn't measuring out liquid enzymes.
You take the delicate chemistry out of the hands of the user entirely.
Yeah.
And once that freeze-dried, expanded assay is ready, the ultimate proving ground is large-scale clinical validation.
Right. We need thousands of patients comparing the rapid test directly against physical tissue biopsies, not just against other machines.
Right. Well, by skipping complex DNA purification and utilizing single temperature amplification, this extraction-free assay proves that highly accurate molecular HPV testing can be successfully miniaturized for the world's most resource-limited settings. It represents a vital bridge between high-tech genomics and frontline global health.
It forces us to realize that the most advanced medical solutions aren't always the most complex. Sometimes the most sophisticated thing you can do is strip a technology down to its most resilient essential parts.
Exactly, which leaves you with this to ponder. If we can now reliably detect viral DNA directly out of raw, unpurified cellular debris using just a battery-operated box in a remote clinic, what's stopping us from deploying this exact same stripped-down technology to agricultural hubs, tracking the next zoonotic viral pandemic at the edge of the human-animal border long before it ever reaches a major city hospital? This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening and join us next time as we explore more science base by base.
Bench light, quiet hands on glass. A drop meets base, let the old steps pass. No spinning down, no waiting in the line. Just heat and time, and a rising sign. Primers knock like questions at a door. Locked in the dark, then not anymore. A quenched little spark learns how to run. When strands let go, the signal becomes sun. Under an hour, bright enough to know what's hiding small in the undertow. Same visit, same room, no long delay. Read the curve, then act today. Under an hour, hear it say, we found the light, we found the way. Three numbers on the label, 16, 18, 4. Climbing like a will to survive. Portable screen, steady as a metronome. Answer in your hands, no need to roam. But low load whispers can fade in the mix. Inhibitors linger, storage plays tricks. So we keep refining, keep widening the net. More types, more trust. This isn't finished yet. Same chance, no losing days. From sample to answer through warming haze.